Hi everyone, welcome to Psychedelic Science Conference. We are here to witness an historic event. We have, I think, 11,000 people, attendees, coming to learn more about psychedelic and their benefits and therapeutic use. We're here for the next 3 days intensely, speaking to many leaders in the space and bringing you so much more news and updates. So stay tuned. Hello, everyone. Hi, everyone. Let's connect with Shiri Godasi, as you guys may already know. She is our second time you were returning guest to turn.
Well, now it's
this
third
will be
time.
Third time. So. And this is such an honor because we get to be in person and we get to speak to Shiri and meet and be in your energy, in your feel.
Yeah.
It's very powerful in person. I always thought that when I was talking to you, there's this, even on Zoom, there's like a really emitted energy. It's far more stronger in person. So welcome.
Yeah, thank you. And so good to see you in person.
Thank you. And so what brings you to the conference?
I've been in the psychedelic field operating since 2015. And obviously, I'm very much interested to hear about the latest findings. But more than anything, I'm really here for the people. I come from the people, and I'm interested in just seeing what the people are up to, what my tribe are creating, what projects they're working on these days, what they're scheming up, how they're planning on reprogramming the planet, and seeing how I can potentially be of service to that. So that is why I showed up in Denver.
That's amazing. And we'll link up some of your conversations with me, earlier conversations, because you are a psychedelic integration therapist.
Yes.
So tell us about that journey, because right now I'm obviously connecting with a lot of people in this space who are looking to train, be prepared for what is emerging, right, with all the medicine work and the psychedelic renaissance. So what would you say? Where did they start?
Well, I mean, the way that the journey started for me was actually at a conference just like this. I mean, it was on a MAPS conference like where we are, but September 2015, there was a smaller conference in Los Angeles called Visionary Convergence. And at the time, I was a grassroots organizer in the city working with another friend to create meetups in town. And I've never been to a conference before of that nature, and I attended as a volunteer, and for the first time there, you know, meeting all these visionaries that have been in the field for a long time, literally for years, medicine people, artists, literally paving the way. That was where I heard the term psychedelic integration for the first time by Dr. Susana Bustos from CIIS.
I remember
hearing her speak to that, and I just wrote in my notebook, integration, and just circled that. And at that moment, I knew that this is how I want to contribute in the field. I had no idea how. I didn't have a plan. I just knew that this was my path. So that's how it started, at a visionary convergence just like this. A special thing happens at these conferences when you bring a whole group of people together. I mean, any group of people, really, but I think particularly strong are when there's a group of people who work in the consciousness field. Consciousness is very much activated. So there is a very live, living vortex of energy, creativity, source connection active, and it feels like everything is much more alive. So ideas come to life, and I feel like they materialize faster. So that's another reason, again, why I'm here, is to tap into that field and see what is needed in this time and where I'm guided to go next in my professional journey. So to answer your question, I feel like these conferences are really great for people who want to get their feet wet and not really sure where to start. And if they're tuned in enough, then they will get that.
It's about showing up and being part of these events and gatherings.
And listening.
Yeah.
And listening to what is needed and then responding to that.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because a lot of people would tend to follow the trends, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the listening is the part, the key part here, because as we are all individual, we have our own medicine, we all have our own way of contributing. So when you say listening, like, what does that look like?
People
are,
you know,
well, listen, you know what I mean? Like, because they tend to follow the trends rather.
I mean, you can follow the trend. And I think, you know, some people are, you know, those who are listening, you know, we're listening in terms of, like, I've never been a person who followed other people. I've never been a person who followed trend. I've always wanted to do my own thing. This is just the design that I am. And for me, the listening is kind of like a breadcrumb. Okay, where am I needed next? Oh, this is interesting. I'm going to follow that. This is interesting. I'm going to follow that. But basically, I'm being led by something other than myself, but it's not a bigger trend. It's, call it source download, call it creative consciousness, call it wisdom. I don't know what it is, but it was my intuition to follow that. And I think that's what makes leaders. And so when they follow their intuition and don't follow the trends, they create their own path. And again, the word integration came out at that conference, but there was nothing in terms of resources for integration at the time. So it was my journey to begin creating these resources. And that's how I turned to be a psychedelic leader. You know, years later, I'm sitting here. And, you know, we talked yesterday at the party about, well, what is it like to be here after all these years? And it's interesting because now I'm like, people have been coming up to me left and right, that I do, people that I don't know, like thanking me for my work, thanking me for paving the way, thanking me for my medicine. I think for the first time after all these years, I'm beginning to understand the level of impact that, again, this little breadcrumb that I follow all those years ago, like what has been created in that light of following that and listening.
That's so wonderful. This is so beautiful. And I think this is much needed to be heard right now. And you were here also 2017 was
correct.
The first time, it was at the first conference.
No, MAPS had other conferences prior to that.
In Denver, maybe.
No, the previous one was in Oakland.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. So what's changed since then, right?
What hasn't changed?
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, this is 12,000 people are in attendance from what we know about the numbers. There are, I think, 500 presenters. There are literally 10, at least like 10 presentations happening at the same time, and events and a deep space and meditations and panels and, I mean, the magnitude of this place, obviously, I think it's like it's at least times 20 of what it was back then. What else has changed? Well, actually, like in terms of speakers, I'm going to say that a lot of the speakers haven't changed. I mean, that's a good point. A lot of the speakers, you know, MAPS, you know, we have a lot of respect for them and everything they're doing. And of course, you know, we can also look at them as because of the mission that they have for them, that they've created all these years ago. It is also a very politically oriented mission, and I think a lot of what is created has to follow that political strategy, and I think it's really important to mention that. And because of that, a lot, you know, there are still some of the same speakers, and I think that there are still, there are still like the token indigenous people that speak. I'm specifically using the word token. I think there's a lot of lip service being paid to indigenous communities. For example, I know yesterday I was present at a workshop led by a group of indigenous elders, and I was wondering, well, first of all, this was a tiny workshop in a tiny room. I think they charge about $300 or $200-something to enter that workshop. I was wondering how much of that money was actually going to the people on the stage versus MAPS, and why were they not given, you know, like a 3,000 seat theater, like some of like what Aubrey Marcus is about to get.
Right.
So these are things that I'm noticing. So some things have changed and a lot of things still haven't. And with that, I was happy to see, like today I felt like, one presentation that I didn't participate in, there was a BIPOC presentation led by the BIPOC community, and there was a full room of BIPOCs literally stating, you know, their needs and, you know, what they need to create these healing spaces for themselves. But I was really excited to see that was happening. That was different. Because at the last conference, there was barely any representation for BIPOCs.
So wonderful.
Yeah.
Great observation.
Yeah.
Thank you for enlightening us. I couldn't catch these, honestly, coming from a different perspective.
Yeah.
And I love what you said about the politically following that political thread. Do you think strategic?
Absolutely.
Right?
I mean, from what I know, again, I'm not a politics person whatsoever. I've been following MAPS journey for a while. There is a reason, for example, you know, they chose MDMA assisted psychotherapy with clinical trials for first responders, for veterans. Why is that? Because in the United States, where you know, MAPS is an American organization, the veterans and first responders is like the heart of the country. You can, no matter where you throw a pin on the country, even at the most like right-wing Republican places, everyone is going to follow like, okay, yeah, we need to take care of our veterans. So I heard from a first source that this was a strategy. That's how this was the doorway that they created towards the mainstream.
Yeah.
So it is all political strategy, and it's a mastermind political strategy, and I think we have a lot to thank for this masterminding, you know, otherwise we will not be here. But you know, as we know, there's in any political strategy, there's always casualties as well.
Sure. What would you like to see different in the future? I'm sure, can you see these events might probably be happening more often now that after this is a huge success in my understanding. This event is a huge success, and I've never seen such an organization. It's like colossal.
It's meticulous, and it's colossal. It's huge, and you know, I think the reason why they have it only every few years is because of the magnitude of this.
Yeah.
I mean, we do have a lot of other grassroots organizations that have psychedelic conferences all over the country, so we do have the smaller conferences. What would I like to see more of in MAPS? I think the day when we actually do have, for example, again, these workshops by Indigenous elders on the main stage and not like in a pre-conference workshop in a tiny room, when that happens, then I will say, okay, we've made it.
All right. That's a great point. Fantastic. It's just such a great conversation.
Yeah.
What would you like to say lastly from anything around the conference or just in general for our listeners?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, so I think for anyone who is looking to get their feet wet, I do think that these gatherings are a great place to start. And, you know, you don't have to travel, you know, to the other side of the world like Susan did to attend a conference there. And any place on earth, basically, if you just Google psychedelic meetup, you're going to find your people in your town. Okay, you don't need to come to these conferences to connect with the others and to connect with the tribe. I mean, of course, if you can do that, because it is a very special experience after all, and we are creating, literally, this is history, it's a historic event. But, you know, you can literally just go in your backyard and create these gatherings without a $1,000 ticket, without the price tag. Just create a free meetup and gather your people and have these conversations. You know, all it takes is one person to initiate that. And that's how we create the revolution. Again, this is politics, but the people on the people in the communities is who makes the difference.
Absolutely. I love what you said about creating your own people and your community and wherever you are in the world. Coming back to this event, though, last night you said something very powerful. This is the vortex.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like the vortex. Is that because a lot of the like-minded people, similar people in the medicine coming together?
The medicine is here.
Creates that.
People who are like, you know, have a very strong energy. You know, the people who are activated by medicines, who engage with medicine work, you know, the medicine is very much alive within us. So I think the medicine here is very felt. And that is the vortex. The medicine consciousness is very felt here, and that's why it's so exciting. And none of us, by the way, are on any type of psychoactive substance. We're literally just high off this vortex.
Yeah.
So we're all lit right now, and you know, in a very sober way. But this is the medicine. The medicine is alive.
Absolutely. My observation. I was taking Uber coming back forth to the conference, and this week I've noticed even the Uber drivers. They had this sense of pride, like we have this conference. They see your tag and like, oh, you're just coming out from the conference. So there is this like confidence in them. They embody something of a pride. Yeah, we get to do this in our town.
Well, I mean, Denver is on the forefront of decrim and legalization in the United States. It's not by coincidence that we're here. It is from the get-go, in its roots, the people here are very welcoming and accommodating to that, and that's why we're here. So I think it says a lot about the town.
We felt that inside and then outside of the whole town is just lit by this energy of walking around. They get excited when they see your badges, and they want to talk to you, and they want to ask you questions. So what is the purpose of you here? It's a beautiful experience, for sure.
Yes. as well as able to experience time.
So that's why we're here, to bring some of that energy and meet people like you. So thank you, Shira.
Thank you.
As always. And I can't wait to follow your journey and continue to have these conversations wherever I can catch you and be part of your, you know, you try it and then. And learn from everything that you bring. Thank you so much.
So amazing to connect in person.
Same, likewise. Yeah. Thank you, everyone. Hope you guys enjoyed this conversation.
Yeah.
I'll see you guys very soon. Stay tuned for more. Bye for now.